Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
In the prior broadcast, we were studying passages in the Bible that showed you bad music in the Bible. Show you where it came from. It came from the devil. Show you what it does. It draws people away from the Lord. But it is commonly mistaken for music that is for the Lord because it's connected with idolatry and it's connected with the devil. In this study today, we're going to look at good music in the Bible. And obviously, there is good music in the Bible. In the Bible, when you find the two different lines of music, you find that the good music comes from the Lord, and you find that the bad music comes from the devil. So today, what we're going to do, since we talked all day in our broadcast, about the bad music, today we're going to talk about the good music. Let's go to the book of Job, Job chapter 38. We'll start there. In Job 38, we're going to read verses 6 and 7. The Bible says, "Whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened?" Talking about the earth. "Or who laid the cornerstone thereof? When the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy." Now this question that was raised here, who laid the cornerstone thereof, when the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy, reveals that joyful singing accompanied creation. You see it if you look at all the rest of the context here. "Where wast thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare if thou hast understanding." You see that? Joyful singing accompanied creation. It's a musical event. The morning stars are angels. If you look at Revelation chapter 1, verse 20, and Revelation chapter 9, verse 1, you see that the stars are angels. That should be no surprise to you. We have a city in the United States called Los Angeles, the city of the angels. That's where Hollywood is, and people who are great movie actors are called movie stars. Isn't that interesting? All right, morning stars are the angels, and since they were singing even before the literal stars were created, because when the earth was made, they were singing, and the stars weren't made until 4 days later. You know, that's an amazing thing. They were praising God for his creative work. In Revelation chapter 4, verse 11, look what the Bible says. Revelation chapter 4, verse 11. The Bible says this: "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and they were created." You know what's happening here? God is being worshipped, and what's being said when he's being worshipped is, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created." And so the morning stars are singing and the sons of God are shouting for joy. They're praising God for his creative work. Now, after creation, so you see the good music has already started before you ever have an earth. After creation, the next time you find someone praising God is in Exodus chapter 15. Exodus chapter 15. In Exodus chapter 15, the Jews have now escaped Egypt. And they have gone across the Red Sea, and Pharaoh and his army and his chariots have been drowned in the sea. And, buddy, they are singing a song of praise to God. Look at Exodus chapter 15, verse 1. "Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. the horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. And that song goes all the way down until you get to verse 19. That's a big song. They were really singing. And they were praising God for delivering them from their enemies. But you know, Exodus chapter 15 is not the only song of deliverance that's in the Bible. Deborah and Barak were delivered from Sisera. And in Judges chapter 5, they sang. This is when Sisera was killed. And in Judges chapter 5, verse 1, look what the Bible says. Then sang Deborah and Barak, the son of Abinoam, on that day, saying, "Praise ye the Lord for the avenging of Israel when the people willingly offered themselves." And then there you go. Read on down. And that song goes way down there through the chapter. Why? Because that's what people do when God creates things, and that's what people do when God delivers them. David even had a great song of deliverance. 2 Samuel chapter 22. 2 Samuel chapter 22. Look what the Bible says. 2 Samuel chapter 22. Read verse 1. David spake unto the Lord the words of this song in the day that the Lord had delivered him out of the hand of all his enemies and out of the hand of Saul. And then he sings. You see, this praising God for his marvelous works, praising God for his salvation, praising God for his creation, praising God for his deliverance, that's what these songs in the Bible are about. In Numbers chapter 21, in Numbers chapter 21, God is being praised. You know what the Jews are praising him for? They're praising God for provision, for giving them water in the wilderness. Numbers chapter 21, and look at verse 17. Then Israel sang this song. Spring up, O well, sing ye unto it. The princes digged the well, the nobles of the people digged it by the direction of the lawgiver with their staves, and from the wilderness they went to Matanah, and so forth. What are they doing? Singing a song, praising God. In Deuteronomy chapter 32, God gave Israel a song. And this song is actually a witness against them. In Deuteronomy chapter 32, it is a witness against them. And it is a testimony to them when they are to turn back and get right with God. God gave Israel in Deuteronomy chapter 32 a song as a witness when they would end up turning to other gods and serving them. Deuteronomy 31, verse 20, read what the Bible says. "For when I shall have brought them into the land which I swear unto their fathers, that floweth with milk and honey, and they shall have eaten and filled themselves in wax and fat, then will they turn unto other gods and serve them and provoke me and break my covenant." Then they're supposed to sing this song and remind themselves of their need to turn back to God. You see, these songs that are written here are like ballads, praising God for his creation, praising God for the deliverance from Pharaoh, which is a song that will be sung at the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ as well, when we're delivered, you know, when the world is delivered from the Antichrist, praising for defeat of Sisera. Again, many Second Advent references in that song. 2 Samuel 22, many Second Advent references. Those songs, listen, are prophetic. Because not only do they sing about the history and ballad of the deliverance from those that were the enemies, but they also speak of the future deliverance when Jesus Christ will come and deliver Israel from its enemies. They're fabulous songs. Look at 1 Kings chapter 4. The most prolific songwriter, 1 Kings chapter 4. And look at verse 32. Speaking of Solomon, he spake 3,000 proverbs, and his songs were 1,005. He wrote 1,005 songs to praise the Lord. In 1 Chronicles chapter 25, you know what David had? David had 288 men who prophesied with harps, psalteries, cymbals, and horns. He also had 4,000 men who praised the Lord with instruments that he made. Turn to 1 Chronicles chapter 23. 1 Chronicles chapter 23 and look at verse 5. I'm telling you, singing, praising God with song, huge in the Bible. 1 Chronicles 23, look at verse 5. Moreover, 4,000 men were porters, and 4,000 praised the Lord with the instruments which I made, said David, to praise therewith. And then, in addition to all this, there are all these psalms. There's 150 of those. And we call it the Book of Solomon, or we call it Solomon. But if you go to it, it's called the Song of Solomon. The Song of Solomon. And you read all of that thing, that's a song about the relationship with Solomon and his bride. And it speaks specifically about a relationship with Jesus Christ and his bride. Listen, the Bible is loaded with good music. Now, in the New Testament, we find very specific instructions from Paul concerning music. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 19, and let's see what these instructions are. Ephesians chapter 5, and look at verse 19. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, I read Ephesians chapter 5, verses 19 and 20. Now notice this. In good music, where is the melody? It's in your heart. And the songs are sung to the Lord. And they are songs that are sung with gratitude. Now, when you think about those being psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, remember, in the Old Testament, all the category of singing had to do with salvation, their deliverance from enemies. It had to do with prophecy, second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, and had to do with admonition, like Deuteronomy 32. The song reminds them, oops, you've turned to idols, and God gave us a song to turn us back to Him. You see that? They are songs that teach. They are songs that preach. They are songs concerning the Word of God. I mean, you know that because they're written here. So from Ephesians 5:19, what we find is that good music falls into three categories. First, they're psalms. Now, I wonder where those are. You know where they are. You know where they are. When you first start reading your Bible, a lot of times people will go to the book of Psalms and start reading there. Certainly, if you haven't been reading your Bible and suddenly you hit a calamity, people want to go to the Psalms. You know where they are and you know what those are. And do you know many of these Psalms have been put to music? So when you read over here and you look at these Psalms that are written here, these are songs and prayers and many of them written to be played with music. For instance, in Psalm 87, the Bible says with that little piece right there before the first verse, that little intro, it says, a psalm or song for the sons of Korah. In Psalm 88, a song or psalm for the sons of Korah, the chief musician upon Melath, and so forth. And you read that through there, you realize these things were written to be sung. So we know where the psalms are, we know what those are, and you can find music for the psalms today. There's a book called a psaltery and or psalter, and it has words and music so that you can sing from the psalms. All right. Second, in this passage of Ephesians 5:19, are hymns. Now, you know what hymns are because they're found in your hymn book. And our hymn book, I think, has over 500 hymns. And you know something? Those hymns are just like those songs that you've been reading in the Bible. They deal with salvation. Like we have a song, Saved by the Blood, deals with salvation. They deal with prophecy. There's a song in the hymn book, When We See Christ, when we see Christ. There's another psalm or hymn that says, "What a day that will be. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see, and I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace." It's prophetic. And you know what it does? It has to do with the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. It has to do with our rapture and seeing Jesus Christ face to face. As a matter of fact, there's a hymn in there called Face to Face. So you see, the hymns that are in the hymn book line up with what you find in the Bible. Prophetic, God-honoring. They deal with things like creation, deal with things like salvation, deal with things like the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. When the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. Prophetic, salvation, hymn book. That's where hymns are found, in the hymn book. And then there are spiritual songs, psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Now, spiritual songs are songs that appeal to the spirit. They minister to the spirit. They edify the spirit. They don't minister to the flesh, and they don't minister to the soul. You've heard of soul music. They don't minister to the flesh. You know, that feel, that thing, that loud music and that beginning to sway and all that stuff. And the head goes back and the thing becomes passive. You know what I'm talking about. And spiritual songs are sung to spiritual instruments that are played to minister to the spirit. And we're going to look at a passage here in just a bit about some music that was played that ministered to the spirit. The more that spiritual instruments are played, the more ministry to the spirit. Now, the more spiritual instruments in the Bible are trumpets, psalteries, harps, timbrels, stringed instruments, organs, even cymbals and horns. You say, where'd you get that list from? Psalm 150. Psalm 150. I mean, Lord tell you what kind of instruments. He doesn't tell you how they ought to be played, but once you get a good taste of what you're reading here in the Scripture, you understand how they're to be played. But he lists them all in Psalm 150. Praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise him with the psaltery and harp. Praise him with the timbrel. Praise him with the stringed instruments and organs. Praise him with loud cymbals. Praise him upon the high-sounding cymbals. Let everything that hath breath, there you go, singing, praise the Lord. Now, and here he also says, praise him with the dance. That's what Miriam did in Exodus chapter 15 when they were delivered. She took the timbrel and they added a dance with it. But let me tell you something, it wasn't a sensual dance like you found when we talked about the bad music yesterday. Now, some of these instruments can be played to a sensual rhythm, and they can stir up the flesh rather than minister to the spirit. Let me tell you, today, people rarely sing the Psalms. They rarely sing the Psalms, although there are many beautiful melodies to which they may be sung. I've got a friend of mine that pastors up in Alaska, and we were at a missions conference last year, and he led some of the singing, and he led us in Psalms. I'm going to tell you something, man. That is some good singing. So that's out today. Nobody's singing the Psalms. I'll tell you something else. The hymn books have been shelved in a lot of churches, and they've been replaced by choruses that are displayed up on the wall. And so you've lost all of that good testimony concerning prophecy, salvation, creation, deliverance, all those kind of things. They've been replaced by choruses, and you know, you've heard, and it's been a long time since anybody's used the phrase, 7-11 songs, seven words that are sung over and over again 11 times, called them 7-11 songs, choruses. And that's very true, by the way. And today, so the psalms are gone, the hymn books are gone in many churches, and today the spiritual songs are no longer spiritual songs. They've been replaced by Christian rock. There's no such thing. It's rock music. And they've been replaced by Christian, what I call cocktail music. It's the kind of stuff you used to listen to in the background of cocktail lounges in really, really, five-star hotel type things. Written to be sung and appeal to the flesh. The song services are led by praise teams. I think of praise teams as cheerleaders conducting a pep rally for Jesus. And now preaching only occupies about a fourth of the service. because the song piece is the big piece. And then, and the preaching is not so much preaching as it is motivational speaking. You see, the purpose of biblical music, the purpose of good music in the service, is not to draw a crowd. It never was. The music that draws the crowd is the devil's music that we looked at yesterday. But good music is, it's, you don't see that purpose in here. Speaking to yourself psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to draw a crowd. No, it never said anything about that. Listen, Colossians 3:16 says that the kind of music that we are to sing is music, Colossians 3:16, that is to let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. The purpose of that is for teaching. The purpose of that is for admonishing. And the old hymns did that. And the psalms do that. You see, the song service, if you will, paves the way for the word of God to be taught. It paves the way for the word of God to be preached, where it can dwell in you. Listen, when the kids were little, we taught them songs like, Mary had a little lamb, little lamb, little lamb. And now here I am, you know, so many years later, decades later, and I can still sing that song. We go to the nursing home and we preach, and there are people that sing along with us. They can't even remember their own names, but they remember the words of those songs. Why? That word of Christ dwells richly in you when you sing. Spiritual singing is to accompany good preaching. It's not to replace it. You see what happens? Good music drives evil spirits away. Good music drives you away from idolatry, drives you away from sin. And evil spirits come, you know what they come for when they come to a service? They come to steal the word of God being preached. In Mark chapter 4, when the word of God is being preached and sown, you know what happens to that word that falls on the wayside? Mark chapter 4, verse 15 says, "These are they by the wayside where the word is sown, and when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts." That's what evil spirits do. You know, you can probably remember Saul had real trouble with evil spirits when he began to envy David. And so in 1 Samuel chapter 16, watch what happens. 1 Samuel chapter 16. Look at verse 13. Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him, that's David, in the midst of his brethren, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. The Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. Now, Saul had already messed up and disobeyed the Lord, and so an evil spirit was troubling him. Look at verse 14. But the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him. Oh, man, that's a terrible thing. That evil spirit troubled him. So what happened? Well, they got David, who was a cunning player on a harp, verse 16. And in verses 22 and 23, Saul sent to Jesse, saying, "Let David, I pray thee, stand before me, for he hath found favor in my sight." And it came to pass, when the evil spirit from God was upon Saul, that David took an harp and played with his hand. So Saul was refreshed and was well, and the spirit, that evil spirit, departed from him. That's what good music will do for you. Today's music, this modern stuff that's played called Christian rock and all that stuff, can do nothing of the kind. And the reason it can't remove any evil spirit that might be troubling somebody that goes there is because it's the devil's music. Listen, just because the lyrics say something about Jesus doesn't mean that the music is Christian, because it doesn't fit the description what we've seen in Colossians chapter 3 and Ephesians chapter 5. It's the world's music. You say, how do you know? Listen to it. Listen to the music and then go to some restaurant or some club, if you will. I wouldn't go to one, but you might. And you know what you're going to hear? You're going to hear the same kind of music. And you know what John said? John said in 1 John chapter 2, verse 15, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him." Amen, amen. I was in a restaurant just the other day, and there was music in the background, and it was played loud enough so that I could tell it was rock music, but low enough so that I couldn't hear the lyrics and probably couldn't have understood the lyrics anyway, because usually in that kind of music, they're pretty sultry and they're pretty jammed up with the music, so it's really hard to tell. And later, I was having supper with one of the guys that works at the restaurant, and somebody commented about, "Oh, I didn't know y'all played Christian music there." And I thought to myself, that was Christian music? Oh, it didn't sound anything of the kind. It sounded just like the stuff that's played in the other restaurants. It sounded exactly like the world's music. And that's no surprise, because that's worldly people trying to attract worldly people to a concert that is supposedly a concert for Jesus. You know, Christians are reluctant to admit that their Christian rock, or their, I call it, Christian cocktail lounge music, is bad music. And the reason they're reluctant to admit that is because they like it. And in this day of apostasy, that's what you would expect. Synthesized keyboards, electric guitars, drums, light shows, those are not the instruments of Psalm 150. That's not the music of Ephesians chapter 5. That's not the music of Colossians chapter 3. Those instruments are the instruments of the world's rock bands. Those are rock people that come in because they know there is a substantial market among Christian people. You know what I would say to you? I don't know if you're going to do it or not, but I would avoid those things. I would stay away from that kind of music, and I would stick with God's good music. I pray that this study in the prior broadcast and in today has led you to a better understanding of music in the Bible. I pray that it's given you also some guide about the kind of music you ought to be listening to and the kind of music you ought not to be listening to. Amen.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Ranmorgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.